Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now, the Golf Underground is made possible by Mariner Wealth, helping you navigate your financial future. Star Companies KC. Experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sana Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results, tailored perfectly to individuals' needs. By The Flats KC, Kansas City's coolest apartment experience. Check them out at theflatskc.com. Greenside Cigars. Hey, enjoy your next round with the patented Birdie Stogie. Sheridan's Unforked. Eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford. Nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens. Put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, on to the program.
ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground, powered by Mariner Wealth Advisor, helping you navigate your financial future.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Golf Underground ESPN Radio. We are back on a Sunday night version of the Golf Underground. Sitting here on my left is the one and only Kevin Ward. Wardo, I miss you. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. Across the way, here we got George Brett, eager to miss a 7 o'clock dinner meeting with his wife. And the side guest comes in with the sporting his favorite Tito's, Harry Higgs, fresh off the PGA Tour.
Harry freaking Higgs, Harry ladies freaking and gentlemen. Higgs, huh? Great to have him back on the show. Finish.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Great week. Would have loved to have won, but great week.
All right, so Harry, you came on the show. This was probably, I don't know, 8-9 months ago. Wait, pre-COVID. And we had a bet that if you won the tournament, we were going to shave your back. And so I was glued to the television set like a freak on that Sunday. And did you purposely throw it?
Maybe. Might have misread that putt on 17 for on purpose. No, honestly, I had forgotten about it and was reminded actually 2 days ago, somebody at Lionsgate at home, they won, asked me when I was going to be on the show next. I said, I don't know. No one asked me to be on any shows anymore anyway.
That is a complete BS.
Well, you know, we just stumbled in the same room, and now I got a microphone in my hand. But
well, we didn't know you were going to be here.
Of said bet, and, you know, I would have loved to have won the golf tournament and all that comes with it, but I still have my back here, so I'm also thrilled about that.
So what was that, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks
no,
ago.
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks, three ago, weeks yeah. ago, you were playing where?
Napa, California.
Napa, and the fires were everywhere?
Yep, very smoky.
Really?
Orange haze, a little bit of trouble breathing every now and again.
Is that right? So you were how many shots back on the 17th hole?
17, I was one back.
One back, and you had watched, how far of a putt?
I had about an 8-footer.
And?
For about 7 3/4 of the feet, it looked like it was right in the hole.
Exact right.
And I think I misread it just a little bit. I had it kind of right edge, falling left at the end, and it fell a little right at the end. Definitely tossed my putter in the air and kind of walked around and for sure said an expletive on live television.
And then what happened on 18? Did you have a chance?
No, 18, Stuart Sink, who won, was in front of me. He hit it in the fairway, knocked it on the green, and two-putted, and I drove it in the fairway bunker on the right side and was unable to get there. So I laid up, tried a whole 100-yard wedge, and didn't do so.
And what's the course in Napa?
It was Silverado.
I played there a couple years ago.
Yeah, I love it.
I thought it was a fantastic course.
I'm not a big wine guy, so.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. What was your favorite winery?
I didn't have a single glass of wine while I was there.
Oh, my God. You're the only human being ever that goes to Napa Valley and doesn't have one glass of wine.
George, it was a business trip.
Yeah.
Every trip's a business trip.
Maybe Texas? I don't know. Not really, but. That's 2 years in a row, George. Not a drop of wine in Napa, California. And the first year, my girlfriend was there with me, and I didn't have to go to any of the wineries.
Oh, my God.
How'd you do that?
I might have it pretty good.
How'd you do that?
You know, I'm working.
It was like you won because you saved so much money. True. It was like making $1.4 million or whatever it was instead of $800,000 because you didn't have to spend $600,000 on wine and dinner.
It's true. Yeah.
So you won the tournament. Congrats.
Thank you.
Your first win.
Your first win. That means we get to shave your back hair. No, but in all honesty, what one thing that's great for the listeners, we had Harry Higgs on right after he, probably two or three days right after he secured his card last year. And clearly we didn't know the year was going to be a crazy COVID year, but he played fantastic all year. But I remember asking him, what are you going to change for next year? Because I ask a lot of guys that are taking the next jump, whatever, college to pro, pro to, you know, next level. And he said, I'm going to change absolutely nothing. And what I love about that, when he said that, I knew he was going to play effing unreal this year and have a fantastic career. And so props to you for that. So keep doing it, brother.
Thank you very much.
Hey, was it as fun as you thought it'd be?
Yeah, it was probably more fun. Not every week is fun. I mean, I certainly missed cuts and played poor and acted like a clown and, you know, not. But it was a lot more fun when fans were around. We certainly miss them. It's incredible some of the things you'll do when people start chanting your name.
Yeah. Yeah, but you also, that's your shtick. Now, you don't want the shtick. I get it.
I don't know that it is.
It's authentic.
But it, like, I'm going to continue to just be myself.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know where I was blessed with the thought that, like, I really just don't care if people like or dislike me. It seems like more people like me than they dislike me. But I will be myself. I do know that I, one, look a little different and maybe act a little different, at least while on the golf course, than most other PGA Tour pros. Some of them can be, you know, it is their business. They're more fun off the course than they are on it. I play better golf when I have fun on the golf course too. So I'm just going to do that. And try to beat as many people as I possibly can for the rest of my career.
Yep. Well, that's an easy way to live, I think. That's a lot easier than having to sort of fit into this mold of how people have done it in the past. In fact, you know, we're going to have David Faraday on here shortly. And, you know, a question we're going to ask him is the game in good shape right now? Is it in good shape? Because, you know, there's young generation like you that, you know, 10, 15 years ago didn't exist. There's a lot of Harry Higgs guys who freaking play this game really good, but a lot of different personalities. But I think there's more fun guys, certainly, than they were back in the days of, you know, of Tom and Nicholas. Fun is okay now.
Yeah. Well, and I would...
Also, being yourself is okay to some degree now, which, you know, there was a time when no one wanted to be themselves and no one... You know, and we talked about Joel Damon, who's been a guest on this show. One of the funniest tweets I've ever seen is he missed the cut at the first playoff in Boston. And he says, missed the cut today, boys. Looking for a money game tomorrow throughout the Boston area.
He went and played and lost.
In the money game?
He played a money game?
He straight up played with two other guys and lost.
Well, how many shots was he given? He's got to be a plus six.
I think he said he might have played plus eight. He went out and played with the guys about 30 minutes away, and I remember seeing him the next week in Chicago.
I played with him at Whisper Rock, and he was 5-under, 6-under going into 17th hole. Never played the course before. Yeah. And he brought a buddy of his from Michigan State. Big, tall guy, hit it a country mile.
Ryan Brim hits it for
Who he brought. He brought him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I met him on the show. When we did the show and we did
$4 million
that year. And all of a sudden I'm listening to a story and I'm laughing and I'm going, you live in Arizona? I kind of spend a lot of time in Arizona. Let's play golf. And we went out and played and I was in awe of this guy. I mean, it was unbelievable. And all of a sudden on the 17th hole, a par three hits it over the green. It hits on the backside. It rolls kind of underneath a tree, by a cactus. He takes a 9 on the hole and shoots even par. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I had my best round of the winter. I shot 79. And he took a 9 on one hole and beat me.
Amazing. Amazing.
Did you win money?
No, of course not. I never win money.
Well, he was playing with Marty Bicknell. He definitely lost money that day.
I was playing Marty with Marty Bicknell. Of course I was.
He is sure an elusive. We've tried to get him as a guest on this show. I mean, we're getting great guests, but we sure can't get Marty Bicknell. Yeah.
We'll who are your sponsors? What do you got there?
I've got M. Joel.
What's that?
Generational Group.
Generational Group. What's that?
Merger acquisition firm in Dallas. I've got Benchmark.
How much are they paying you? Don't say. I was just kidding. Don't say. And then you got an American flag on your hat.
Yeah, this is a Trinity Forest hat, home club in Dallas.
Okay, and you got a Seminole shirt.
I played the pro member this year after the Honda.
Right.
What'd you think of the track?
So sick.
Yeah.
So sick.
How about those greens? Are they unbelievable?
Insane. Yeah, they're insane.
Did you put any off the greens?
No, I did not. I witnessed plenty of people doing it.
Right.
I think I didn't play well, but I think I was very fortunate to not. I was putting uphill a lot, but I was putting uphill for par or bogey, so that's why I didn't play well.
Are those the hardest par threes you've ever played that are not even?
Yeah, that are all probably under 180, except for what is it? Seven? Eight? Yeah, nine eight. Comes back to the clubhouse. Yeah. Eight, I think I hit three wood. It was blowing so hard into the wind. I thought it was awesome.
I played with my buddy Hartley from Hawaii over there, and he shot 110, and he got a hole-in-one on the 17th hole.
Oh, my God. At Seminole?
17th hole. Yeah. He got a hole-in-one.
If I had made it.
And he had to go in the pro shop and buy the picture. Cost him like $400.
Did he put the card with it? Was it like a little?
Oh, I don't know. But he bought the photo of the hole.
Oh, that's
to put in his house.
I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have much rather shot 110 and made an ace on 17 right. that day.
All right. Well, hey, what was the most fun tournament to play in this year?
Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. Yeah. All right. And I was before we went on the air, I told Harry, I said, you know, I went out and chased him because he was playing with JT on Saturday, and they were having a freaking blast, right? And so it was really fun. Yeah. Certainly, it's a fun atmosphere. But my sense is you guys were having your own fun little match within this fun Saturday party day.
Yeah.
Fully embracing it.
We didn't, which is actually surprising, I guess. We didn't really say like, hey, man, we're going to play today for $100, you know, low man, whatever, or whatever that might have been. But we were certainly a good friend of mine, and we were certainly looking forward to the day. I went out with some friends in Old Town, and I was not out that long, and I had two drinks. So wherever we went were... It was, they were pouring strong drinks.
I bet it was the bevy.
Probably the bevy.
The bevy.
Was Joe Scovern pouring those drinks?
That's Colt's place, right? He likes the
bevy. He might have gone to the good one.
So does Scovern loves that place, and so does Commie.
So does Quinny.
Oh, my God.
I had my two drinks, got in an Uber, and went home, and I woke up, and I remember being like, damn, I'm a little hungover. Like, I don't remember doing enough to feel this way. And I vividly remember I was just saying the first hole, pretty simple hole, 3-iron, maybe 3-wood. I snap hook my 3-iron into the cactus. I have my caddy, Mike. We were walking just off the tee. And Mike, put the bag down. Well, what do you, and I need to get some out of it. I grabbed two Advil, took the Advil walking down the first fairway, go climb in the cactus that I hit it into, like dribble my punch out, barely clears the desert into the rough. And I'm pretty livid, and JT and Fleener, another his caddy, great buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Been on the show.
Yeah, the That's man.
Amazing. More than once, yeah.
I have a wedge from the rough, and the flag was tucked. Like, I'm trying to hit it probably 30 feet left of it and hopefully make the putt for par and just get this hole over with, or two putt for bogey. Oh, whatever. Just get it over with so we can have some fun with my friends.
Yep.
Obviously, don't stay left. I shortside myself, short and right, no chance. Hit this most ridiculous bump and run, like ricochet left, come up just to the right of the flag. Fleener will tell you it was going fast. There's video of it somewhere. It went right into the middle of the hole, like 4 feet by pace. And then it was just like, okay, here we go, boys.
Let's have fun.
Chip in for par. I chipped in again later that day. Like, it was ridiculous. That was the day I made the 85-footer for two on 17.
Yep, yep.
Like,
that was a great
putt. I rode my driver down the fairway.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Honestly, after I hit that first tee shot and reached for that Advil in my golf bag, I would have had no idea that what happened that day was coming. I thought it was going to be I'm going to double the first. I'm going to kind of have to just try to get it back, get it together. Had a great day.
In front of a lot of people. Yeah. Hey, what was it like? What was it like though in the stadium, right? As you teed off, and because that's right up your alley.
It is insane
compared to what you thought.
I don't even know. It doesn't compare to what you think because when you get to that hole in practice rounds, it's pretty simple. That hole is short and it's a big green, but there's a lot of slope, and that green can get firm. That like if you just miss it either way, it'll miss the green. You're gonna get booed. I did my best to try to, I told myself, I teed off Thursday. I was first off in the afternoon off of 10, and I was so amped to get to that hole on 10. And my goal, the entire, I guess it would be what, six holes before that, was to make as many birdies as possible in case I screw that hole up. Just try to make as many birdies as possible. So obviously I didn't birdie a single hole until 15 the hole before it. I made like a 35-footer for birdie. I get to the hole, and you all week you tell yourself, you pick the club, you pick your shot, you pick how far you want it to land, and you just walk in there and hit it. You don't worry about a thing. Like, there's no one else there. Just do it. So I stand up. I'm pretty sure it was 9-iron. Okay, I'm over the ball. Okay, great. Yeah, okay, we're trying to cut this in there. You know, we're landing at 4 yards right. As soon as you grip the club and you're behind and you're over the ball, it's all of that goes away, and it's please hit the green, please hit the green, please hit the green, please hit the green. You're shaking. It's just I will never experience. Well, maybe I will, but I don't think I'll ever experience anything like that again. I pull hook it into the bunker, booed. Then I get in this bunker, and it's an uphill bunker shot, pretty simple, and I have a fine lie, but if you hit it just too far, it'll roll off the other side mm-hmm. of the green, booed, and then at that point, I'm probably going to be all out of sorts. I'm going to make 6 on the easiest hole. the easiest hole on that 9 almost.
Yeah.
So I chunk the bunker shot out, and I get booed again, and then I don't know what flipped, but I just said basically, F all these people to myself. I'm making this putt, and I'm going to let them know that, like, okay, I'm here to stay. Like, this hole does this. This is my hole.
Yeah.
Somehow this putt lipped in. It shouldn't have gone in. I
had a great putt.
I made about a 20 footer for par.
Nice.
And I didn't do anything ridiculous yet, but I kind of like looked over there, like, okay, yeah, that wasn't really what I was hoping to do, but I see you guys. Like, no, there was no real stuff, but it was like, all right, I see you guys. I'll be back. You'll wait and see. And then I birdied it the next day and all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So actually a great story. So the year Woodland won out there. So he's playing that hole and he stuffed it in there to 12, probably 8 feet. There's some clown in the stands right up there in the corporate tent that says, you're going to freaking miss this. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And he's over the putt and you can hear this clown. So he putts it. I think he might've backed off once even. And he steps in, hits it, and just stares down this cat that's right there in the second row of the stands. But that's the gamesmanship you got to have with
that.
If
you can get some of that killer in you, that like, screw you, dude, watch this. Like, and I kept walking onto that whole thing, and all of these people that might boo me, all, you know, bitch and moan that I missed the green, they couldn't stand if they were out here on this tee box.
They couldn't hit the green.
Well, they couldn't hit it.
They can't even see the green.
So you just you've had experiences.
Well, you know what? I would go to Yankee Stadium, and we'd play in front of 56,000 people. They hated me there.
Yeah, they hate
because I had great success against the Yankees in the playoffs in a regular season, and they would boo me. One day I went there, and they had a dummy hanging from the upper deck with a noose around his neck with my jersey on.
No.
You know, and I walk out.
What did you do that night?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what I did by that four, day, but five, that was up there the RBIs, that was up there the whole time, the whole series. And then you'd come out of the dugout when the Yankees were taking batting practice, and you'd stretch a little bit, you'd play a little catch, and these kids would be there by the dugout, and they'd go, "Hey, Brett, give me a ball. You're my favorite player. Give me a ball. You're my favorite player." And you don't give them the ball.
Over here.
You don't give them the ball, and they say, "Hope you break your effing neck." You know,
probably an 8-year-old.
Eight-year-old standing next to his dad. Standing next to his dad, and it bothered me when I was younger. And then all of a sudden, when I got more successful in the big leagues and I got more confidence, I looked around at all these idiots sitting in the ballpark that were booing me and yelling obscenities at me. And I'm going, do I really care what that asshole thinks? Who is he?
Yeah.
Who is he?
Not at all.
You know,
yeah.
He's a nobody. And I'm going to be, he's going to intimidate me.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm going to make his day worse by going out and doing good. And I think that's the attitude golfers have to have. You know, the old tournament back in Detroit, wasn't Detroit the biggest shit show in the world?
Oh, yeah.
Where they would just go crazy.
Buick Open, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but they had a tournament in Detroit where the fans were just the worst ever. They'd boo you. They were cheering and stuff. And I'm going, God, these golfers aren't used to that. Everybody's, you know, the guy hits a good shot and everybody claps. Yeah. Oh, good shot, good shot. And then all of a sudden people are ridiculing him and getting on their past and saying things about him. And I'm going, you know, they just gotta let it. Do I care what you think?
But you played,
idiot?
Listen, you played so well in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
You liked it. Who are you kidding? We're talking about not playing with fans in front of you?
Sure, yeah.
You know, if you had to do those holes again, you look around, that little sick pit in your stomach, that's adrenaline. That's a good thing.
This is another par 3. Like, if there weren't fans in there and they weren't screaming and yelling at you, it's just another par three. Yeah.
Like, right.
Okay. You, no, if there were no fans.
9-iron on the green. Like,
yeah. You wouldn't go down the
no, that came about because no people were literally, I don't know why they were. I mean, I was in like 25th, but I was walking down the fairway and people start chanting, Harry, Harry. Yeah. Just happened to have my driver on me and I just decided I'm going to ride it like a horse. Right. And then I completely forgot when I got to the green and then I hooped an 80 footer. And I wish the camera could have stayed on me instead of obviously when you hit a putt that long, it takes forever to get to the hole and it follows the ball. I damn near beat the ball to the hole. I knew it was in. It was one of those weird ones. I knew it was in the moment I hit it. There was no way it wasn't going in. I was as fast as I can go running after it.
That's so good. All right, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about some of the surprises of 2020. You got to meet and become friends with a lot of really cool people.
Sure.
Right? And so I'm curious, you know, who are the really cool ones? Who are the ones who surprised you? And maybe who are the ones who might have been mildly pricky? So come on back. You're on a Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is George Brett, Hall of Fame baseball player, and I've been playing golf for over 35 years. Hitting the ball far was never my problem, but the closer I got to the greens, that's when my problems began. When I wanted a golf practice area in my backyard, I called Celebrity Greens. They are the industry leader in custom-built synthetic golf greens. These championship-caliber, low-maintenance greens roll great, react like real bent grass, and hold chip shots that check and spin. I absolutely love mine, not only in Kansas City, but also in Arizona. Call the pros at Celebrity Greens at 1-888-507-7960 or visit them online at celebritygreens.com. Practice like the pros or people like me that want to be pros right in your own backyard.
Hey, Brian Sullivan, Golf Underground, with a little tip for you. If you're looking to buy a new Ford, you have to check out my buddy, Jason Gudenkauf at Lewisburg Ford. They've been saving Midwest Ford buyers thousands of bucks for over 40 years because they do business the right way. They sell everything, check this out, for $50 over invoice. That's simple and cheap. And now what these guys know how to do also, keep this in mind, sell trucks. Lewisburg Ford has sold more F-150s than any other Ford dealership in greater Kansas City. That's 2 years running. And last year, they were the number one F-150 sales leader in the entire state of Kansas. So, no hassle. $50 over invoice pricing, unparalleled customer satisfaction, and a huge selection. That's a perfect recipe for selling trucks. So, check out all their inventory and prices online at lewisburgford.com. Or give them a call at 816-444-2300.
Looking for Casey's best and coolest apartment experience? We have it, and it's called The Flats KC. The Flats KC is committed to providing an exemplary living experience by offering the best in-class residential communities in the most sought-after neighborhoods in Kansas City. With a focus on meticulous restoration and renovations of vintage properties, we aim to take the beauty of vintage and seamlessly unite it with modern touches. If you love urban living and are in the market for a freshly renovated apartment, The Flats Kansas City has options to fit every price range. Check us out at theflatskc.com or give us a call today at 816-454-3118.
Hey, what's up, Golf Underground Nation? This is Brian Sullivan, co-host of the Golf Underground with the Greenside Cigar Company, here to tell you about the hot new cigars that are about taking over the golf industry. And yeah, I'm talking about the patented Birdie Stogies you guys have been seeing for sale all over the local golf courses. These cigars come highly rated and are the ultra-premium alternative to that dried-up old stick you've been using to celebrate your made birdie putts. Designed to be carried in every golf bag and saved as a reward for celebratory achievement, our cigars are bringing golfers added relaxation, fun, and perhaps maybe even a little luck. From mild to medium, smooth to sweet, we have a cigar suitable for every taste palate and golfers at all skill levels. So no matter your celebratory occasion, enjoying a victory stogie at the clubhouse after a low round, immediately after a made birdie putt, or hey, even to help you relax and simply celebrate being out in the golf course, make sure you never approach the first tee again without one of our beautiful cigars in your golf bag. So learn more and order online at greensidecigars.com or just Google the Birdie Stogie, because after all, there can only be one.
There you go.
Operator, won't you put me on through? I gotta send my love down to Baton Rouge. Hurry up, put her on the line. Gotta talk to the girl just one more time.
Welcome back, Golf Underground ESPN Radio. Now listen, Harry's got to hear Fleener.
Well, he's going to hear it on the show when he's listens. Gotta,
right, so you can't hear this. You don't have the headphones
on. I'm staying with Fleener next week. I'll make him sing. Right. It's a great – I mean, he'll put you right to sleep. You know, for maybe a little nap time after a morning, we'll have him do a little karaoke. And we got a pool next week for the house. Actually, really? We got 2 weeks with Fleener and JT. Vegas.
Who would win a wrestling match between you and Fleener?
Fleener, 1,000%. He has
– Really?
Way more – chop than I do. Like, I would bail so hard. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. And I think Fleener is too, but I think he would beat me up pretty good.
Now, he's kind of a fan of his singing voice.
Huge fan, yeah.
Big fan of his singing voice. Yeah. And so once you break him down and maybe get him a little Air Supply, a little Yacht Rock, he's pretty good at it.
He actually is pretty good at it. Like, he does sing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. A man that carries a bag around for a living, like he's pretty talented.
Yeah, well, and
just,
you know,
across all boards.
Well, he's a Nashville boy, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So he's a Nashville boy, and so we had him on the air, and you know, we asked him if he would sing, and you know, he acted like, "Oh no, 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 I'm not gonna." Holy shit, he couldn't wait to start doing it. In fact, he went from Garth Brooks, Baton Rouge, to Gangster Paradise.
See, that's a man with range.
He's got some range.
He oozes talent.
Oh.
Yeah. You can't, I was always told you can't hide three things in this world: money, looks, and talent. And Fleener is creeping up on the money side, but the looks and the talent, you can't hide it. Like, he's the triple threat.
I want him to just cuddle me like a little child.
George, what do you consider yourself? Are you the triple threat, or what do you have in all those three? Yeah. We know you don't have much money, right?
No, I played in the 70s and the 80s.
What about the looks?
No, I'm 67.
Oh, come on. 67
talent,
going on.
It's all gone. My body's too sore. I'm just a washed up old hag.
You were hitting drives on the simulator earlier today. We brought the red carpet rollout with TaylorMade Golf today.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Trying to convert you over, you know. You love all the attention.
The big three. I hit it three times.
Did you?
300 yards.
God, wow.
67.
Look, I mean, TaylorMade may or may not pay me to play their stuff, so I think I should tell you, do it. It's the best in the business.
What do you use?
Clubs. All TaylorMade.
Oh, yeah.
All 14 of them.
I used to be all TaylorMade. Used to be all TaylorMade. My buddy, who was a TaylorMade rep, you know, they did a restructuring.
Okay.
And he kind of said, you know what, I kind of don't like this. Okay. More territory, less money, more travel.
That's not a great thing. Yeah.
And so he's now in the barbecue business, Meet Mitch. Okay. And so I kind of, you know, was
a free agent. Yeah.
And today, after hitting some TaylorMades, I'm going, stupidest decision I've ever made in my life.
Well,
these are better clubs.
Yeah, I don't think you need my help for this, but I will certainly help with anything you need TaylorMade.
Okay.
It
was unbelievable.
Yeah, TaylorMade guys.
Wasn't Eduardo the difference?
Bother
between
all the time?
And I don't want to get an award and say, okay, I was hitting this club or that club or this club. But, you know, I've tried a bunch of different clubs. And I love my Callaway clubs, but they didn't test out as well, I guess. Did they?
Yeah, they were close.
They were real close.
Everybody comes real close.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference between me and you. You're able to go get tested and put the same swing on every club. I have 14 different swings.
Okay.
And you never know when that good swing's going to come, so you never get the true reading of what the right club is for you or for me. You know. You can tell exactly.
Or just swing a bunch until you hit all 14, and then then we were good.
Or test on multiple days like these guys do.
Right, yeah.
But the thing is, though,
But the driver was really good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what spin ratio is and the hit angle and all that stuff means.
I don't really know either.
No clue.
You don't.
I have no clue.
Hold on.
Somebody gets
the
paid
driver that tested best was the one that we started with, because that was the one we tested you with 2 weeks ago prior to going to Sage Valley. You whipped out your old go-to gamer and hit spinners.
I went
spinners.
To my Callaway.
You hit spinners up in the air.
But I hit it straight.
You
hit it in the fairway.
You hit
pop flies to right with your cowboy.
No, it was straight.
And now you're hitting liners straight, over left
now
center.
The launch angle's a little lower, I guess. There's less, I don't know what it's called, you know,
spin.
But it went further. Okay. But that was today, that was in a simulator. And you don't have trees and bunkers and everything looking at you. You just look down there. And you.
I think you might need to give yourself a little bit more credit, George. You are and are currently one of the best athletes of all time. Like you can hit a ball in a fairway.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, let's give ourselves more credit. Get a tailor-made driver in your bag.
Golf is different. Golf is different. Golf is different. You tee up a ball. You have to sit there. You have to go, okay. And then you look and you got to hit it. In baseball, a guy gets in a windup, he throws it as hard as he can, and you react.
Yeah, well, those can relate.
But in golf, you're the reactor.
Sure.
You start everything. The pitcher starts everything, maybe, all he does is react to the ball.
Maybe you need a little Matt Wolf trigger then. Maybe you need a little dance.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to a
George.
Matt Wolf.
No light. Yeah. So, George,
Kevin wouldn't allow that, though.
I would love to allow that. You just got to figure out how to recreate it time and time again.
If you haven't seen Matt Wolf hit a golf shot live.
I've seen it. I've never seen it live.
Live. I would suggest doing it. It is unbelievable.
That guy is good.
Movement all the time. I mean, did you?
Yeah.
You
well, you no, never I never stopped. I never stopped. Box. I never stopped. I always had movement.
Yeah.
And in golf, sometimes
so
I'll sit there for 8 seconds and then
golf.
All of a sudden have to take it back because my mind's telling me something's not right. Okay. Don't swing yet.
Here's my question to you.
This,
I made this argument the other day. I was talking to somebody or I was giving a lesson. And actually, no, we were at a golf school in Austin with some of our guys in the stable. We took 12 guys down there. But if you can recreate impact, why would you not start from impact, right?
Right.
Sure.
I mean, if you started golf all over again and you took five people that stood how we normally stand, and then you took five people how Matt Wolf is kind of somewhat,
right.
That was a drill that became his deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, which people would have more success, the people that have start how we normally stand or the people that start from impact? Right.
When you say start from impact, you're saying where your body is at impact. Start there.
Start there.
Charlie Lau used to tell me Charlie was a terrible golfer. We played golf a lot together. He would always say, "You know what? Pretty soon, people are just going to start with their swing already up there. They're gonna put it five inches away from where they get. They're gonna do all this line up, and then they're gonna put their club there. They're gonna move it 2 inches and then swing because everybody's problem is their backswing."
Yeah, it's true.
That's where everybody's problem is. Yeah. So, maybe you start like Kipnis or Alex Gordon was doing earlier this year. He put his bat straight out parallel to the ground. And then all you got to do is move it 2 inches up and then just swing.
Whack it.
Yeah. And I'm going to try that tomorrow.
Yeah, try that.
Why didn't you ever tell me to do that, Wardo?
Well, we're still in chapter two.
Okay.
What
swing are you going to use tomorrow?
Well, listen.
Because I get to play with you tomorrow
in
yesterday. A big tournament.
I played an E9 after several Tito's, right? Oh, a nice two-man scramble against two other guys.
Tito's, again, this is free ads. You guys owe me at some point.
Oh. Well, they sent you some.
George, this is
sent you some.
And look, I am very, very thankful that they sent me. They sent me 2-liter bottle of vodkas, 2 separate ones. They just sent it in a cardboard box. One of them was shattered.
No
way. So
they
sent 2. One of them I received. Look, I appreciate the gesture. The next time you're going to have to send some money to. I feel like I've talked about it enough.
Yes, you
Although
have.
I know Tito's isn't struggling, and I don't pretend like I'm helping them.
Yeah, right.
All right,
but
pop quiz.
But I know
quiz.
When I win that golf tournament,
pop quiz for you
I'm
three.
I'm going to say.
Pop quiz for you three. The CEO of Tito's. Say his first and last name. Guarantee you don't know it.
I 100% know it. Tito Beveridge.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's his real name?
Yes. Tito Beveridge.
No way.
Still, Tito, pay me, dog. Come on.
Georgia, for us mere mortals that fly Southwest, he used to be in the magazine. And then, so I researched him, and his signature was Tito Beveridge. And then I researched it. I Googled it. His last name is Beveridge.
Yeah.
Wow. That's funny. Anyway, so I did do the E9 and had several Tito's.
Okay, good.
And as a joke, I started doing the Matt Wolf. I hit the drive, striped it down the middle, longer than normal. And now that I'm like, do I keep doing this? Yeah. My buddies are like, why not?
There's going to be a
And I'm going.
Yeah.
And I was very loopy, but it got me here.
It's okay.
Constant motion.
Constant motion.
The worst thing that people can do is stand.
A body
still.
In motion stays in motion. Yes. A body at rest stays at rest. Isn't that a saying?
That's deep shit.
I think that's a saying.
What is it? What was it? Newton?
Newton's
you
law.
You watched me play baseball. My bat never stopped moving.
Never stopped moving.
All right. I want to hear this, though. I want your take. Because Wardo will tell you.
Because you know what? The longer you stay there with no movement, tension starts.
Yeah.
And when you get tension in your hands, it goes to your arms. Then it goes to your chest. Then it goes to your body. And the longer you sit there and then you try to bring it back, it's not fluid. Yeah. It's not fluid.
The first thing I go to when I struggle is...
I'm learning so much today from you.
George.
This is unbelievable.
George, you just gave yourself a golf lesson through...
I did.
How... I mean, you're a Hall of Fame baseball player. You just gave yourself a golf lesson.
He's got a new... George has a new life coach.
Like...
Yeah, well, Joel Damon was after the Joel Damon show. It became Joel.
Yeah,
right. Joel, you're taking a back seat now. We got here.
Sorry, everyone's Joel. Expendable. We do love you.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, but
well, it's like Brant Snedeker. As soon as he puts the club down, he swings.
Yeah, constant motion.
But what do you say? So, Harry, what do you say to the folks who say, "All right, pause it
I
up
think
top."
The two worst. Well, it. No one ever says stay still. I think everybody that plays golf is way too still. And if anybody ever tells you to keep your head still, just smile at them and say, okay, I'm not going to do that. Dustin Johnson's head moves not all over the place, but quite considerably. And I think he's doing just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Two best golf swings you've ever seen.
Adam Scott. I played 18 holes with Adam Scott in Napa.
And handsome as shit.
Yeah, beautiful golf swing, beautiful man.
Is he?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I got two old timers that I really like watching.
See, I not that I miss them, but you know, I don't get to see. I've seen Tom swing. Tom,
yeah, beautiful swing.
It would be hard pressed, and Tom may not have the most. I mean, it's very technically sound, but maybe not the most aesthetically pleasing. But what he does to a golf ball, if I'm not looking at him swing and I get to see what the ball's doing, he might be. In my top two, too. Because he hits the shit out of it.
My two favorites are Ernie Els, just because it's so effortless.
Yeah.
And Fred Couples, because it's effortless.
I think Fred just turned 61. I just scrolled through social media the other day and saw a bunch of his highlights, and they are
unbelievable.
Epic. I mean, it looks like...
But it's like he's swinging one-third the speed, isn't
and,
it?
Yeah, and he hit it further than everybody
else. I played
a
lot of golf with Fred back in the 70s, in the early 80s. And I didn't know who he was when I first met him. His wife said I met his wife first, and she said, "Oh, my husband's a golf pro." And I'm saying, "What club does he work at?" I've never heard of Fred Couples.
Well, this
this is back in the early '80s, and we were living out in Palm Springs at Mission Hills Country Club where they play the Dinosaur.
Sure. Yeah.
And so one day, here's my husband's number. Call him. And Fred's not the most outgoing guy in the world, but he's the nicest guy, nicest human being you'll ever meet in your life. So we go out and play, and I'm watching him play, and I'm going, God, he's not even swinging at the ball. And he's hitting it, boom, boom, 320 yards with shitty old clubs back then.
Look, I'm very thankful I played now.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd been able to handle the clubs those guys were swinging. Yeah, wildly impressive. Those are two great ones, Ernie and Fred.
Yeah. That's the tempo I want, but today I was over at the stable working with Wardo, and he says, speed up your backswing a little bit.
So
I'm going,
the other
what
thing,
the
yeah.
hell?
That is probably the third myth, is the swing slow. Under certain circumstances, sure, or people would tell you to swing smooth. Most people, your best serve, you're probably not going to hit it straight enough. Hit it as hard as you can.
That's exactly.
Hit it as hard as you
can. That's a great.
And that's also the way the game's going. In the way, you know, that's also where we're leading to. But yes, George, give it to George.
So today,
he's raising his hand,
I'm
ladies and gentlemen,
at the stable, and I'm hitting these drivers. And of course, all they're talking about is launch angle, all this stuff. Oh my God, we got a coat and tie, and all we're talking, and you're looking up at your things, and all it is oh well, you're that's 5.2, this is 4.6, that's 18 feet, this is this. You're spinning. You know, I'm going, I don't know what you guys are talking. I really don't know what you're talking about.
Hard.
And all of a sudden, the more you hit, the farther you want to hit it. And then all of a sudden, I remembered what Charlie Lau used to tell me as a hitter. Hit it hard, not far. And you just said hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Because when I try to hit it far, my body becomes discombobulated and the ball's going everywhere. But if I try to hit it hard, everything is kind of short, quick, and through.
Sure.
Just like my baseball swing. Yeah. So, Kevin, I got to try that again tomorrow.
Should we? But I'm not in the group,
so I need somebody to remind. I need Tom Watson to remind me tomorrow. Hard not far. And then I'll play good.
I think we can.
We're competing against.
I think you can do a sign on your head that says "Hard not far."
Hard not far. It's hard not far. Not far. Hard not far.
Somebody, we can write this down.
Yeah.
Maybe slip it to you during the clinic tomorrow. Okay. Or
are you giving the clinic?
Well, I don't know. I haven't
yet
been told.
I hope you are.
Look, I don't pretend like I would help anybody's game because I personally think I do things a little different than everybody else. But I sure can talk. And it's usually best served when no one tells me what I'm supposed to do. Just hand me the microphone and we'll just kind
you'd
of...
You'd be like Al Davis. Al Davis, just win, baby.
Yeah.
Just win.
Yeah.
What I like about you...
Just come in second. Hard. You come in second every week, you're going to be you're going to make a lot of money.
I'm going to be a rich man, yes, that will never play in the Masters.
You come in second, you'll play in the Masters.
You might get high enough that I'll play in one or two.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up now because we've got our next guest. Harry, would you perhaps join us for our next interview?
I've got nothing to do. There's Tito's here. I'm good.
Tito's here. Yeah. There we go again. Another plug.
Another plug. We're searching hard and far for that sponsorship.
So, hey, another awesome time. This year you killed it. So fun. I think you're freaking fresh. You're representing Kansas City on tour. You're fun to watch. You're easy to root for.
Well,
when we got the likes of Fleener and you on
Fleener's the real superstar. I'll ride his coattails.
I still want you to wrestle. Yeah.
I will lose. But maybe we'll see, poolside at our house the next couple weeks. If we tie one on, maybe we'll, I don't know, it's hard to not love Fleener, but maybe we'll get
maybe,
in a
maybe
little
a little Instagram
we'll
live.
I don't know. I don't think anybody should see it on the internet, though. No.
It'd be like Borat.
Yes, very true.
All right, listen, we had a great time. And so come on back. We got another great program coming up. You've been listening to Wardo, Sully, George Brett on the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.